podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So Christmas time can give you the warm fuzzies, if you haven't noticed. We have music that we only dig out this time of the year. We have decorations that come out of the attic to make our homes festive. Everyone around us is thinking of others. They're buying gifts. There are decorations. There is special food. There are charities that depend on this month in order to make up their downfall. We have movies that we watch for the thousandth time in our lives this time of the year. Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story, Die Hard. I know there's a lot of debate about whether that's a Christmas movie or not. When I was a kid, we used to watch the Yule Log. Do you know what the Yule Log is? It's just basically was a log burning endlessly on TV. And one of our TVs was black and white, so you can imagine what that would be like. With Christmas music playing and a little crackling sound going on. And we didn't have a fireplace in the home that I grew up in, so we would just watch the Yule Log as we opened our presents, and that was fun. And then, of course, there's the Hallmark movies that some of you watch, and some of you watch those all year round. And there are visions of sugar plums, and there's old Saint Nick, and there's wrapping paper, and bows, and gift bags, and gift cards, and ornament exchanges, and cookie exchanges, and dirty Santa exchanges, and, of course, way, way, way too much food. And there is this Christmas spirit that arises at this time of the year. Grinches and Scrooges have their hearts transformed by the Christmas spirit. But in spite of all of that Yuletide cheer, in spite of all of the warm fuzzies that this part of the year brings for us, did you notice that I didn't mention something? Did you notice that I left something out? See, there is supposed to be a Christ in Christmas. And it is so very easy for us to celebrate the most wonderful time of the year by completely missing the point. I'm not saying we should throw out the bathwater. I'm saying we shouldn't miss out on the baby. But you are here this morning, 10 days before Christmas. So let's remember. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the gospel writer proclaims, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So do you want something to get warm and fuzzy about at this time of the year? Any time of the year for that matter. There it is. God came in the flesh. To Bethlehem, to Mary and Joseph, to you and me. And so last week we read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And let's read that same passage of Scripture again this morning. Open in your Bible to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. If you have a pew Bible, that's on page 750. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the picture that we have here is that Jesus is God in the flesh. This is who Jesus is. And so just to remind you of what we looked at last week, we looked at the Word made flesh revealed. This is what John tells us about. Who is Jesus? Well, he is the Word who is made flesh. And John tells us all about who Jesus is. He says Jesus is God in the flesh. First of all, that he is the Creator who is entering creation. That he is the life who is entering death. That he is light shining out in the darkness. And that he is the glory of grace and truth. These are all the things that we looked at last week. That is the Word made flesh revealed. Now imagine for just a moment that you're there at the nativity scene. You know what I mean? Some of you have nativity scenes at your house, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you've got the shepherds there and the animals there and Mary and Joseph and the little drummer boy if you got him, and maybe you've got the heresy of the wise men there even though they didn't come till later. You've got all these things going on, and you've got the big star above it, and all of this great stuff is going on. You've got that nativity scene. Now just imagine now that you are there. That you are there. You are standing there looking at that manger, at that baby. And you're singing from the depth of your heart, I stand in awe of you. Now, you've never sung that to a baby before, I don't think. Yeah, and maybe, you know, your child is pretty awesome. I understand. Your grandchildren are very awesome. I understand. But to stand before Jesus Christ, the Creator who has entered creation, life who has entered darkness, light entering darkness, life entering death, the glory of grace and truth, to stand before the God of the ages in a baby's little body, amazing. That is the Word made flesh revealed. So if this is what Christmas is about, Word made flesh, how has the world received that truth? How has the world received that message? How's the world received that Savior? So let's talk this morning about the Word made flesh received. The Word made flesh received. We'll begin first of all here in John chapter 1 and read verses 9 to 10, because this is where the gospel writer tells us about how Jesus was received. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So this is what we see this morning is the Word made flesh received. First thing we see is the tragic response. The tragic response. The tragic response is this, as we have seen, many do not recognize their Creator. Many do not recognize their own Creator, though he has come into the world. My daughter Avery had the opportunity over her fall break to go to Nashville with a friend, and she went hiking while she was there. And while they were hiking, she bumped into a country singer. She let us know, I saw a country singer. I mean, Nashville, you could throw a rock and hit 20 country singers, right? But apparently this was a country singer that she recognized and, you know, asked her, well, who was it? Who was it? You know, in my mind, I'm thinking George Strait, Randy Travis, Clint Black. You know, I got all these country singers in my mind, and I still don't know who it was that she saw. She told me the name, and I didn't know who that was. I didn't recognize the name, and I wasn't all that impressed, to be honest with you. And you see, if I had been hiking there that day, I would have walked right by and said, hey, how you doing? And wouldn't have known that this was a country singer of any sort. Would not have even crossed my mind. You can ask her who it was, because I honestly don't remember the name. For me, it would have been an exercise in being oblivious. I would not have recognized him. And that is what it was like for Jesus. Imagine, Creator God walking the streets of Jerusalem. And people just glance at him and think, well, there's just another guy. Not realizing that there is their Creator in their midst. Amazing.
There was no parade, unless you talk about Palm Sunday. That was a parade of sorts. There were no crowds gathering unless they were looking to be healed or get a free meal. Then they gathered. There were no groups of people asking for autographs. Many did not recognize him. In fact, some people saw him and they hated him. They resented him. They wanted to see him tortured. They wanted to see him dead because he was a threat to them because of some of the things that he was teaching. And it's interesting that in the name of Jehovah, and for the protection of their temple, and for the protection of their religion, they killed Jesus, the Creator. They killed Jehovah in the name of Jehovah. Here he was, God in the flesh, and nobody even recognized him. Verse 11 also tells us, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So in addition to not being recognized, many do not receive their Lord. So there are many that do not recognize their Creator, and many who got the information, but they decided not to receive their Lord. He was a Jew who had come for the nation of Israel. He was a man who had come to save mankind. He came to his own. He was their Lord. He was their God. He was their Savior. He was their Messiah. And they did not receive him. In fact, he came into the world in a very ordinary way and was laid in a manger. And we've all seen that picture before. And we see it in our minds. We recognize that at that very time that there was a king by the name of Herod, who was very threatened, very paranoid, and wanted to have Jesus put to death without even knowing him. See, many do not recognize it, and many do not receive him. They still don't receive him. People still hear about who Jesus is and what Jesus did and what Jesus can mean, and they still, to this day, even after he's been to the cross, even after he's risen from the dead, they still do not receive him. Even after thousands of years of people worshiping and the church expanding and growing across the face of this world, and the body of Christ, they still do not recognize their Creator and they do not receive their Lord. So you might ask the question, why do they not receive Jesus as their Lord? Why? Now I'm going beyond the scope of this passage, but understand that this is very biblical. One of the reasons they do not receive Jesus as their Lord is because of their devotion. Their devotion. You see, if you choose to receive Jesus as your Lord, it means he must become your number one priority in your life. And you must devote yourself to him. He must become number one. But many are not willing to do that. Many are not willing to do such a thing because their priority, their devotion lies somewhere else. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22 are introduced to one of those people. It says, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Do you see that? He had every opportunity to receive Jesus. He had every opportunity to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, to receive him. What stood in the way? He was a rich man who was unwilling to part with any of his wealth. His money was a higher priority to him than the master. And there are other priorities that we have as human beings that keep us from receiving Jesus. There's money, there's sex, there's power, there's entertainment, there's fun. Not done having fun yet. Not quite ready to receive Jesus. There's fame, there's pride, there's selfishness. There are many reasons that people choose not to receive Jesus because there are many priorities that they have that they feel are greater than following Jesus. Many do not receive Jesus as Lord because they have another Lord over their life that they are unwilling to unseat from the throne of their lives. Why else do many not receive Jesus as their Lord? It's because of darkness. It's because of darkness. We live in a world of darkness. But John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21 kind of teaches us a little bit about how men feel about darkness. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, right? This is John. He's reflecting back on what he said in chapter 1. Light, Jesus, has come into the world. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So many are unwilling to receive Jesus because they are unwilling to repent of their sin. They're unwilling to confess their sin. They're unwilling to come into the light and to have their deeds exposed. See, light has a way of exposing every single one of our flaws. And there's not a one of us that is really interested in all of our flaws being exposed and seen. We can hide in darkness. But stepping out into the light, it means that we have to deal with our sin. Receiving Jesus, it means that we have to deal with our sin, to confess it, to repent of it, to allow him to take it from us. You know, Adam and Eve hid from God in the garden. They were hiding from God, naked and ashamed. And God called them out because of it. And he called them into the light where he clothed them. What a beautiful picture that many will not receive Jesus because they have too many sins to hide. They aren't done hiding. And they love the darkness. Why else? Why else do many not receive Jesus as their Lord? Well, because of direction. The direction that they're headed in. Right, Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?'" What was Jesus saying? You see, many know that in order to receive Jesus as their Lord, they must be willing to follow him, to follow his path, to go his way, which requires that if you're going to follow Jesus' way, that you deny your own way, that you turn from your own way, your own direction. This means they have to forsake their own path in order to follow Jesus' path. But many are unwilling to make a sacrifice like that because it's too hard. A complete change of direction? No, I'm happy with where I am. I'm happy with where I'm going. I don't need a change. I like the way that A.W. Tozer said it. He said, "As strange as it may seem, many would choose sin over Jesus. They would rather have buzzards perch in their hearts than the heavenly dove come in. And as long as the buzzards are there, the dove will not descend." Just reminds me of a time when I was around our house and it's a strange thing when suddenly the birds stop making noises, you know, the birds, like, they're not singing anymore. What is going on? Looked on the roof of the house. There was not one buzzard on the roof of the house. There were about five or six buzzards on the roof of the house. I remember that day we took a picture of it. It was just so ugly, all these buzzards. But as the buzzards are sitting on the roof of the house, all of the wildlife around us suddenly disappeared, became quiet, and hid. Tozer saying that as long as we have the buzzard of death and sin perched in our life, that Jesus cannot come in. The Spirit cannot come in. Some people are so happy with the direction that they're headed in that they're unwilling to receive Jesus and change their direction. So you can choose to follow Jesus, or like many, you can go your own way. You can call it another lonely day. The gospel according to Fleetwood Mac. He came unto his own. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. That's tragic, because they were devoted to other priorities. They were hiding in the darkness, and they didn't want to change their direction. We are so happy being Lord over our own mess that we don't even recognize that the Lord of all is here, right in our own midst, and wants to help us fix it all. Well, that is the tragic response. They do not recognize their Creator, and many, many do not receive their Lord. There's another way, however. According to this scripture, there is another way. And so in verse 11, it says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, it's an important yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So to all who receive him, and notice it tells us how to receive him, the ones who believe in his name, those are the ones who become the children of God. So what we see in this passage is that there are few who receive Jesus by faith. The transforming response is this: few receive Jesus by faith. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it's the believing that is the key for the human being receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you see who Jesus is, that he is the Creator who has come into creation, that he is life who has come into death, that he is the light who has come into darkness, that he is the glory of grace and truth. When you see that he is the Word, God become flesh, you receive him by putting your faith in him and receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. So John is saying here that there are some who do receive Jesus by faith. You may ask, why am I using the words many and few? Those are not my words. Those are not my words. Those come from Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In Luke chapter 13, same thing basically. Jesus went through the towns and the villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. The passage teaches us that there are a few. Jesus teaches us there are a few who receive the truth about who he is and respond, who receive him and recognize him for who he really is. As John teaches, there are some who receive Jesus by faith, who rearrange their devotion to put Christ first, who step out of the darkness in order for their sin to be exposed and for him to deal with it by his death on the cross. There are some who change direction intentionally, repent of their sin and change direction to follow Jesus. And these are given a great privilege. They're the ones, all believers, become God's children, John teaches us. All who believe in him become children of God. Then he goes on and he says, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Those who put their trust in Christ alone become children of God. And John specifies that this is not of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will. It's not natural family planning we're talking about here. In other words, we become children of God, not by flesh, but by spirit. Not by flesh, but by spirit. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you become a child of God, not by flesh. You might remember a conversation that John had with a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. That's where we get that great verse, John 3:16. But in John chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again." So Jesus is saying you must be born again. You must become a child of God. And we see here in John chapter 1, when we put our trust in Jesus, we become children of God, not by flesh, but by spirit, born of God. That is the transforming response. So there are two responses, a tragic one and a transforming one. The tragic response being those who do not recognize their Creator and do not receive their Lord. The transforming response being those who receive Jesus by faith and become the children of God by the Spirit. That is the transforming response. So the question is, are you able and willing to be completely transformed from darkness to light, from death to life? If that's what you want, that God has made a way. God has made a way for that. And the way is the Word made flesh, the person of Jesus Christ, that baby in the manger. And for all who are willing to come to Him, for all who are willing to come to Him, emptied of all other priorities, tired of hiding in the shadows, looking for a complete change of direction and a new life, looking to be transformed, all you must do is to confess your sin, to repent of your selfish ways, and to turn to Jesus in faith. And all who believe in Him, all who believe in His name, all who receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God. And that is the very center of Christmas. You want something to feel warm and fuzzy about? You want something to celebrate? You want something, the gold nugget at the center of Christmas, that makes all of the other celebrations that we enjoy worth something and not just a mirage that fades away as soon as Christmas is over. You get that empty pit feeling. It's done. It's over. Put the decorations away. The music station changes. You know, there's no more Christmas music. But Christmas never ends. For those who put their faith in Jesus Christ and are transformed by the truth of the gospel. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So I want you to enjoy your Hallmark movies and your snow globes and your Christmas trees and your ugly sweaters and your gaudy light displays. I want you to enjoy all that stuff. It's important that you enjoy all that stuff. As long as you keep Christ at the very center of your Christmas celebration, then it all makes sense. Then it all has meaning. It all has purpose. If you remember, the Word made flesh, who has been revealed to you, and I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, has been received by you. I love the last verse of Away in a Manger, which, by the way, was a lullaby when it was written, a wonderful song that little children sing. Says, "Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever. And love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there." Oh, what a beautiful picture of what it means to trust in Jesus Christ, like a child. like a child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that's found here in the Gospel of John, that the word became flesh, that God became man, that the Creator entered creation. Father, that nothing will ever be the same. I thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, for his willingness to come from heaven to earth, for his willingness to give his life on the cross, for his resurrection from the grave, and for all that those truths mean to us as believers in him. And Father, I pray for any who are here today who may have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, who need today to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would do a miracle in their hearts today, that you would change their direction. Lord, that they would step out of darkness into light and deal with the sins through Christ's death on the cross. And Father, that you would change their priorities completely, that you would become Lord of our lives, and everything else would take a far distant second. Help us, Lord, to walk with you, to be your children, to trust in you, and day by day, Lord, to proclaim this great message of the gospel. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.